The question was asked, we say, Am Chadesh B'Tuvo B'Chol Yom Tamid, Hashem in His goodness constantly gives renewal, rejuvenation to the world. We do see evil in the world, so are we supposed to say that if Hashem gives it existence, it must be a good thing? So we do say there's good and bad in the world. We have a different blessing for good and bad. We say, Baruch Atov V'Amitiv, blessed is he who is good and does good to the world when good things happen. We say, Baruch Dayan Amit, blessed is he who is a truthful judge when bad things happen. So we do have two different blessings. That means we do view the world a little differently. In last week's parasha, Hashem said to the Jewish people, Re'ei natati lefanecha hayom, behold, I have given before you today, t'chaim v'etatov, life and that which is good, v'etamavet v'etara, and death and that which is evil. V'chata b'chaim, choose life. But you have a choice. That means there is the capacity for evil in the world. We do have free will. People can do evil. Ah, so how am I supposed to deal with that? Hashem created evil in the world. Hashem allows for there to be evil in the world. Hashem allows for there to be pain and suffering. So that's a huge question. But to say everything's good, well, it seems like Chazal told us, the Torah told us, there is evil, there is ra. You do have a free choice. What would a person say? You know, there was a famous poet who was also a Baal Dikduk, one of the commentaries Rashi quotes, Dunash ben Labrat. And he was hired by someone to do great work. And then at some point, it was Menachem ben Saruk. They were contemporaries. Menachem ben Saruk and Dunash ben Labrat. At some point, Menachem ben Saruk, the lord of the manor who had hired him to do all this work, had heard some things that he didn't like about Menachem ben Saruk. And on Shabbos day, he sent his hooligans, and they came into Menachem ben Saruk's house, and they pulled out his hair, and they broke down his whole house in the middle of Shabbos. And Menachem writes him this tearful letter, and he says, what did I ever do? Why do you believe people who say evil things about me? I never did you any harm. My whole history, I've been an honest worker to you. Why do you do such a thing to me? And so the lord of the manor sends him a letter back, and he says, well, maybe what people told me about you was true, and then what I did you deserved. And maybe it was not true, and in that case I brought you one step closer to your creator. So you understand that's a very vile thing to say. A person can't excuse himself and say, there's no evil in the world. If you didn't deserve this punch in the face, well then, obviously you did deserve it, because God let it happen. The whole concept of Bechira Chofshit says, we are entitled, we are given that capacity to do things that are wrong. You can't say, if God runs the whole world, then obviously everything I do is right. You know, when I was a kid, there was a Disney song. I don't know, what's about you? Why do they make things like they do? If they made things like they should, everything I tried would turn out good. I cleaned up the kitchen, the bottom to the top, but the soap suds got above me, and I couldn't find my mop. I don't know, what's about you? Why do they make things like they do? And the whole song, it's a goofy song, about all kinds of things that go wrong in his life. And he says, bathtubs have a bottom, but they have no lid. And all that water on the floor wouldn't be there if they did. I don't know. What's about you? Why do they make things like they do? So you look at all of life and you say, why? Why doesn't the bathtub have a lid, right? You could say that about a lot of things, right? Shouldn't everything be right? If the Ribbono Shel Olam's running the world, how come there are sick children? How come... So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I am running the world. And then we say, but there are things we don't understand. And an honest person says, there are things we don't understand. The book of Job concludes with Job winning his friends, not his friends winning him. The book of Job concludes with the Ribbono Shel Olam appearing on the scene and saying, Eov's a tzaddik. So his friends kept arguing, maybe you're a tzaddik, but you should be a bigger tzaddik. Maybe you're a tzaddik, but you don't realize the things you've done wrong. Maybe you're a tzaddik, but your kids have done transgressions, and you should have stopped them, so that's why you're suffering. All kinds of wonderful answers. But in the end, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're wrong. Eov is right. Eov's questioning. Eov says to them, you know, if you guys were honest, you'd side with me. You think that by siding with you, you think you're siding with God in your dishonesty, and in some way you think I'm making him happy because I'm lying, I'm saying he's right. But you don't have an answer to my argument. It's one of the things Eov says to them. He says, you're scared of saying I'm right because you're scared of the repercussions. And you think God's going to be happier with you if you make believe you have answers. But you don't have answers, and I am right. I can be respectful of God and still say I have questions, and that your answers don't hold water. Eov's very forceful in the whole book. So we have to have that honesty where we can say, wait, I don't have all the answers. Then comes the question, wait, if you don't have all the answers, how are you supposed to deal? So we'll get to that in 1 second. I just want to point out that many Rishonim learn that that's the interpretation of the Mishnah, Ein b'yadeinu mishalvat ha'rasha'im v'af lo mi'yisurei ha'tzadikim. We don't have a handle on why wicked people can have it so pleasant, righteous people can suffer so much. We have answers, and yet we don't feel like we have a handle on it. There are answers, and we can discuss those answers, but at the end of the day, they're not answers that you can say, that's great, it works, it's perfect, now everything makes sense. There are answers where you say, okay, I hear to some degree, but it doesn't sit with me, and that's called being honest. So we'll discuss the answers in a second, but I want to take another step, which is really a step one to all these discussions. When we speak about the Ribon Shel Olam, we have to ask, why do we think we have a right to understand it? We start with this presumption, it's got to make sense to me. And I want to take back a step and ask, why does it have to make sense to me? And I think that you'll agree with me that the answer goes a bit like this. You put me in this world, and I'm supposed to make decisions. You've given me a tool, my intellect, my heart, my conscience, I have tools. But using these tools, I have to be able to access an answer. It can't be that I'm supposed to believe, because then maybe I'm supposed to believe something else. How am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to believe? So there has to be some way that I can understand that I'm supposed to follow your way. But that doesn't mean that everything he does has to make sense to me. Logic, I can say that logic dictates that if I'm supposed to observe what he tells me, then I have to have access to that. Access to that does not mean that every single thing he does I understand. Those are two different questions. You with me? Sometimes we confuse them. Sometimes a person is tempted to say, if I don't understand it, I'm not doing it. What does that have to do with anything? Can you understand that he's the boss? Can you understand he created the world? Can you understand he gave you mitzvos? Can you understand that he told you, this is what I want of you, and I'm here for your good? You can understand that. Hopefully, that's something that we have to discuss in classes. But that doesn't give us a right to take the next step and say, but I don't understand this mitzvah, and I don't understand why you did that. The questions are legitimate, but that doesn't mean that I'm entitled to an answer. You know, one kid came to me today and said, why does my sister have a croquinet? You know, the two-wheel thing, what do they call that, scooter. Why does she have a scooter and I don't? So I said, well, in her school, most girls don't ride a bike, so she's uncomfortable riding a bike, so we got her a scooter so she can ride around. So he says, well, why does she have a scooter and I don't? So I said, you know, I just answered that question a second ago, but if you don't like my answer, that's okay. You're entitled not to like my answer. So he looks at me and he says, well, why does she have a scooter and I don't? I said, you have a bike, and she wanted to ride something. In her school, the girls don't ride on bikes, so she wanted a scooter, so she got a scooter. You know, and then he goes back a fourth time, and why don't I have a scooter? So I said, look, I explained it to you, and you don't like my answer, which is fine. Maybe I'll think about it. Maybe we'll get another scooter for the other kids who don't have a scooter. We'll think about it. But an answer I gave you. You don't like my answer? Okay, I'm sorry you don't like my answer. But after leaving that conversation, I felt bad. Because I did want him to understand. And I like to tell myself that even though he didn't want to hear my answer, he understood my answer. I'd like to think so. I'm not sure. I think so. But it could be that he doesn't. It could be that he's so in his own world that he wants a scooter too, even though he has a bike, but he wants a scooter, that he doesn't even hear my answer. And then I said to myself, and how many times am I that way? How many things are there that I'm not willing to hear the answer, even though the answer is being given to me? Or that I'm not even hearing the answer? So we live in this world and we have questions. We're supposed to have questions. Some answers we can get. We can get answers to Hashem creating the world. We can get answers to Hashem running the world. We can get answers that Hashem is good and kind. And then we can even get answers in a global sense.
that there is a good, there is a world to come. But then you come back and you say, but wait, why does there have to be pain in the world? Why does Hashem allow evil to the world? And you can answer certain answers, which to my mind are answers as to what our perspective is supposed to be. But they don't really answer the question. Because at its core level, Hashem can do anything. So you're going to come and say, why did he do it? And I'm going to say, I can explain to you our perspective on it. But why he did it, I don't really know. And my perspective is not the same as why he did it. Our sages say, Moshe Rabbeinu asked their Ribono Shel Olam this question, and their Ribono Shel Olam, according to one opinion in the Talmud, said, you can't live in that world down there and understand the way I run the world. You'll pass away, you'll have a soul without a body, you'll be able to understand. So long as you're there, you're going to have questions. It's part of the world. It's part of how you have to deal with this world. So you see, though, that when Moshe Rabbeinu had a few private moments with the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, he asked the question. That means he had the question, it bothered him, and he asked it. That tells us a tremendous amount. He could have prophecy, he could talk to the Ribono Shel Olam, he could have a level of clarity we don't understand. Yet he still had this question. That means that on some level, we're supposed to have that question. But Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the book of Job, right? I don't know if he wrote it before that prophetic vision or after, but so doesn't the book of Job answer the question? To some degree. The book of Job says Hashem is watching, there's Ashkecha Pratit, and the book of Job says, you don't understand a lot of how Hashem runs the world. You don't understand. The understanding of how Hashem runs the world is bigger than our minds. So then you come back and say, how can I function in a world where I don't understand? And there we come back to the first point we discussed, the earlier point we discussed. We were given enough understanding to understand that He does run the world, that we have responsibility. We still have to live with the challenge that there are aspects of how He runs the world that we don't have a good answer to. You'll ask me, don't we have an answer? And I'll say, we do have an answer. But it's like I said in the beginning, we don't have a handle. There's the answer of the world to come. There's the answer of Gilgulim. There are previous lives you're paying for, afterlives. There are a lot of answers. But at the end of the day, you'll say, but wait, He could have done everything without the aspect of pain. He could have created everything and made it different. He could have. Nothing's beyond Him. So then you come back with the question, and I say, okay, I said it's a perspective, it's not an answer. Right? These answers give us perspective to the world. So that's, like I said, we could discuss this topic till 3 in the morning. But this is a direction of thought. I would add one more point. Again, on the level of perspective, not on the level of an answer. Chazal do tell us that Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu with a vision. You know the vision? Okay, so Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu was on Mount Sinai. He saw Mr. Blue. Okay? Mr. Blue came to the spring, drank water, put down his bag as he's drinking the water, gets up after he drank the water, went out into the desert, and forgot his wallet by the water. Along comes Mr. Green, drinks by the water, sees the wallet, pockets the wallet, looks around, can't see anyone, pockets the wallet, and walks off in another direction. Shows up Mr. Brown to the water, and he sits there and sips, and Mr. Blue comes huffing back, and he says, "Where's the wallet?" Mr. Brown looks up and says, "Do I know you?" And Mr. Blue says, "Who are you kidding? I was here 5 minutes ago, and I put down my wallet here. There's no one here but me and you. Where's the wallet?" Mr. Brown says, "I just got here. I don't know what wallet you're talking about." And Mr. Blue draws out his sword and says, "You give me back that wallet or I'll kill you." Mr. Brown says, "Look, I don't have a wallet. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have it. I didn't steal it." And Mr. Blue approaches menacingly and says, "Give me the wallet or I'm going to kill you." And Mr. Brown says, "But I'm telling you, I don't know what you're talking about." At which point, Mr. Blue kills him. And then he searches through his stuff, and he can't find his wallet. End the vision. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Ribono Shel Olam and says, "What did you just show me? I asked you, where's justice? And you just showed me a picture." And then the Ribono Shel Olam says, "Okay, I'll fill in the gaps. Mr. Brown killed Mr. Blue's father by mistake, and there were no witnesses. So he killed his father, and he deserved to be killed by him. He never was brought to justice. He killed his father, and no one knew about it. And then I brought Mr. Blue back to avenge his own father's death, even though he didn't know he was doing it. But Mr. Blue, who was avenging his father's death, he once stole money. He was in a public inn, and he stole a wallet from someone's pocket. And that was Mr. Green, who never met him. He never knew who stole it from him. So I set up this whole constellation so that Mr. Blue would lose that wallet back to Mr. Green. Mr. Green finds a wallet, sees no one around. He legitimately takes the wallet, he gets his money back. Mr. Blue comes back to the water and sees Mr. Brown. He doesn't know Mr. Brown killed his father, but I took care of it that he should avenge his father's death. Now you understand, Moshe? What am I supposed to understand? The answer is, there's a plan. But when you look at it, you don't understand anything. Even Moshe Rabbeinu looked at it and said, what are you showing me? You can't understand. The plan is bigger. And if you stick in the whole idea of Gilgulim, that our souls are playing a game, they keep coming back, and they keep trying to move forward, so then Bechlal, it becomes a complicated game, right? Who knows what my soul did last time? We'd like to think our soul wasn't Hitler, right? We'd like to think, yeah. Chilly thought. Maybe there's a lot we have to fix out here. I don't know. No one knows. But if you add that to the mixture, these are all perspectives. They're not an answer, because logically you could argue back, I can make up anything. The answer, it's too complicated, is an answer that anyone can give. That's why I said, these aren't, if you want to look from a logical perspective, it's hard to say these are provable answers. But you could say, these are perspectives that Chazal gave us.